Reading Affectionate Guidance, Chapter 15, The Appearance of Sri Gaurasunda. Within the sacred land of India, the holy footprints of the Lord and his devotees are a place of pilgrimage for the whole world. The seven auspicious places in India that are said to award liberation are all found within those footprints. Among those holy places is Sri Mayapur, which is situated in Sri Navadvip Dham. It is non-different from Mathura Mandal. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has written, quote, "There is no other village in the world like Sri Navadvip, where Lord Chaitanya Gosai has descended." End of quote. Truly, Sri Navadvip Dham is the best of all, and there is no other place like it, since the most magnanimous, mercy-personified Sri Gaurahari appeared in this part of the world. He indiscriminately distributed to all persons, whether they were qualified or unqualified, the highest perfection of love of God, which is difficult for even the demigods to obtain. He has so generously distributed this highest gift even to the most fallen. Therefore, Sri Navadvip is incomparable in the world. Nearly 500 years ago, Sri Navadvip city was renowned throughout the world as the centre of learning and knowledge. The science of logic, which was brought from Mithila, was cultured by the intelligentsia of Sri Navadvip, and its fame was spread all over the world. From Benares in northern India, and from many other places, sannyasis and the class of professors who were well read in Nyaya and Vedanta all came to Navadvip for learning. From Kanchi in southern India and other places too, many students desirous of becoming well educated all came to Sri Navadvip. Quote, "Persons from different places all go to Navadvip, for one who studies in Navadvip gets the taste for knowledge. No wonder there were hundreds of thousands of students and professors there." End of quote. From Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Truly speaking, even a boy can argue with a Bhattacharya if he studied at Navadvip. Everyone considered himself a great scholar if he studied there, and there was no chance of getting recognition from the scholarly community if one did not study or teach in Sri Navadvip. Navadvip was noted for its opulence, which, by the grace of Sri Lakshmi Devi, was shared by all the people there. On one bank of the Ganges, the greatest place of all learning, the most sacred Sri Mayapur was situated. Many wealthy persons from different parts of the world all came to settle there. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, quote, "Who can describe the opulence of Sri Navadvip? Thousands of people go to take a bath there because Lakshmi Devi glances over that place. Everyone lives there in great happiness. The Lord, knowing he would appear there, had arranged everything very nicely for his descent." End of quote. The whole atmosphere was surcharged with auspiciousness, with many wealthy and learned persons coming from distant places to reside in that holy place of pilgrimage and seat of learning. There is no need in mentioning the glories associated with such a place. But the pain within the hearts of the pure devotees knew no bounds. In the midst of all this grandeur and beauty, they could see that everyone was simply wasting their valuable time in pursuing materialistic objectives. Seeing this, how could they be happy? Everyone was simply mad for wealth, mad for physical beauty, mad for acquiring followers, mad for knowledge and intoxicated with the empiric speculations of materialistic science. Their mad attempt for profit, adoration and distinction looked like a frenzied dance, and in the midst of such things the devotees were perplexed. how to save them. Running madly after the flickering happiness of this world, the conditioned souls judge everything from the point of view of sense gratification, and uselessly waste their time with futile talks within the plane of existence. These things are all intolerable for the devotees. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur writes, quote, "The whole world is devoid of real love for Rama and Krishna. As was predicted in the scriptures for Kali Yuga, people only know about ritualistic ceremonies. They stay up the whole night singing the glories of some demigod. Some of them proudly worship Vishahari, who removes the effect of snake poison. Others set up idols and worship them with great wealth. They spend money lavishly on their sons and daughters. Like this, everyone simply wastes their time. They never care to engage in Krishna Kirtan, which is the Yuga Dharma, our only religious practice for this age. They prefer to speak ill of others rather than say good things about them. Even from those who are puffed up with their detachment and renunciation, we never hear the chanting of the holy names from their lips. Some others think that the time of bathing is the only auspicious moment for chanting the names Govinda and Pundarikaksha. Those who recite the Bhagavatam for the education of the people do not have the devotional serving mood in their tongue. Thus the Lord's energy produces the worldly illusion. This causes the devotee's unhappiness to increase without limit. Seeing the whole world devoid of Krishna Bhakti, their hearts are burning within. Some of them feel such intense pain that they want to leave their bodies. Others simply sigh and produce the name Krishna in their exhaling. Their food no longer tastes good in their mouths. When they see the activities of this material world, they become exceedingly unhappy." End of quote. A long quote by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. Sri Advaita Acharya was glorified by everyone, even among the society of non-devotees, as he was the representative of all the Vaishnavas. Sri Advaita Prabhu was residing in Mayapur, and for the welfare of the world was engaged in worshipping the Lord and preaching his glories. The miserable condition of the living entities, who were all forgetful of Krishna, was giving pain to his heart. He would daily arrange meetings for the devotees, at which they would all express grief and profusely shed tears over the dreadful world situation. The Acharya, who was an ocean of mercy, found the miserable condition of the living entities to be unbearable, and he decided resolutely within himself that he would call the Lord to personally descend and save the situation. "I will meet Vaikunthanath and bring him here. Dancing and singing, I will deliver all living entities." The glories of Advaita Acharya were not unknown to the devotees. All were pleased by hearing the promise of Advaita Acharya, and they all engaged in his service, having full faith in him. With this promise fixed in his mind, Sri Advaita Acharya meditated on offering Ganges water and tulasi leaves to the Lord, constantly calling to Goloka Bihari again and again. The Lord's throne was shaking. The devotees, who were also engaged in calling the Lord, abstained from all comforts and material enjoyment, and to relieve the devotees' unhappiness, the all-merciful Lord prepared to descend to this world. Needless to say, when the Lord descends, he comes with all his paraphernalia and associates. Therefore, before the Lord's descent, the all-auspicious Nityananda Prabhu, who appeared in Raradesh, came first to make all the necessary preparations to receive the Lord. Sri Mayapur is the center of Navadvip Dham and is called Antardeep. Sri Jagannath Mishra lived at this place, Antardeep. He was a vastly learned and a generous person and the resort of the purest souls. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has written, quote, Navadvip is the place of residence of Jagannath Mishra. He was as devoted to his religious duties as Vasudev himself. His magnanimous character was as unlimited as Brahman. No one could compare with him. Formerly he was Kashyapa, Dasharath, Vasudev and Nanda Maharaj. And now, as Jagannath Mishra, he was the combination of them all. His wife, named Shachidevi, was completely devoted to her husband. She was the emblem of Krishna Bhakti and the mother of the whole world. End of quote. This very pure divine couple tragically lost 8 daughters, but after that they begot a son named Vishwarup, who had uncommonly beautiful features. They always worshipped the Lord in great transcendental ecstasy. Day by day, Vishwarup, who always satisfied his father and mother, grew like the bright half of the waxing moon. Gradually, this dark world got the strength of the auspicious planets. In 1406 Shakabda, there was a special day because Sri Jagannath Mishra saw a brilliant transcendental ray make its way into his heart, and again from his heart it entered into the heart of Sri Sachidevi. Feeling thrilled, Mishra was overwhelmed with joy, and from that day Sachidevi became transformed into a wonderful embodiment of that transcendental ray. Mishra told Sachidevi all these things he had observed, and when Sachidevi confirmed that she had also experienced the same things, it only caused Mishradev to increase his wonder. I see in the sky as if many heavenly beings are making hymns in praise of me. The whole atmosphere has become delightful with many enlightened persons coming and going from this place. Noticing all these things, Mishra said with joy, From these things I can understand that a great personality will be born. With great attention, this divine couple was always performing Vishnu worship. On 1407 Shakabda, Falgun, full moon day, at evening time, the Lord Sri Gaurachandra was born. On this pleasant spring evening, the day of the full moon, there was also a lunar eclipse. The banks of the Ganges and the roads of the city leading to the Ganges were all filled with throngs of people, a very thick crowd, and all were struggling along the way. Seeing this great crowd of people, one felt as if the whole universe had come here, leaving the rest of the 14 worlds vacant. Everyone was filled with ecstatic bliss. The sound of Hari filled up and resounded throughout the 14 worlds. It was as if all the auspicious signs of the universe were rising at the same time. The splendor of Navadvip was so brilliant. An unprecedented vibration of the name of Hari resounded from the many devotees gathered on the bank of the Ganges. The flood of Harinam made all inauspicious signs disappear on this occasion of the lunar eclipse, and instead brought boundless joy to everyone. As they stood on the banks of the Ganges, everyone was thinking, Where did so many people come from? Previously there were so many eclipses, but so many persons and such a great vibration of the sound of Hari, we have never seen or heard anything like this before. And we are all overwhelmed with joy. They were all filled with intense happiness, but they could not understand the cause. This was going on, and all without exception were feeling very good. Even fallen persons were laughing in the company of the Hindus, relishing the chanting of Hari, Hari. Then a short quote. There was pleasure in all 10 directions, and even the river water was feeling pleased. Close quote. It was a very favorable evening indeed. Quote, Lion Rashi, Lion Lagna, highly placed planets, the 6 planets, the 8 signs, all auspicious signs were visible. Close quote. Everyone was well dressed and decorated for the Lord's appearance and singing songs. Quote, At that time the life of the whole world, Lord Sri Satchinandana, appeared. Close quote. In Sri Jagannath Mishra's house, there was no limit to the joyful atmosphere found in Sri Sachidevi's room. The whole world was inundated by the flood of Harinam as the spotless full moon appeared today. And that is why the moon in the sky covered his face out of shyness in the lunar eclipse. Why shouldn't he cover his face? The moons on the Lord's toenails give such a brilliant, merciful light that they outshine millions of moons, and it is that same Gaurachandra who appeared today. Everywhere, on all sides, flowers were raining from the sky. The sounds of millions of conch shells, beating drums, and dancing of divine personalities all began at that time. The whole earth resounded with Jaya, Jaya, and the entire universe became liberated. The news of the appearance of Gaurahari was thus announced. The devotees directly felt within themselves full satisfaction. The sweet sounds of the conch, bells, mridanga, and karatals became sweeter still when mixed with the chorus of Jaya Satchinandana, Jaya Gaurahari. Everything connected with Gaurahari is eternal. His name, form, qualities, pastimes, associates, paraphernalia, etc. are all eternal. His appearance is eternal. For those fortunate persons who are pure in heart, the eternal Lord resides in their hearts always. These things cannot be understood by our tiny brains. So the Lord is Achintya Bheda Bheda, appearing in the form of Acharya Dev as the highest conclusion of this principle. Only by the grace of Sadhu and Guru are we able to know the glory of Sri Chaitanya Dev, who is the eternally pure, fully liberated, ultimate reality. At that time, those fortunate persons who have received the mercy of the sadhus can understand that Gaurachandra appears as Sri Krishna in the mood of Radharani. They feel great ecstasy within their hearts, and they are able to understand. Today also Gauraraya was performing his pastimes, and only a few fortunate persons were able to see. Ajyapiha se lila kore Gauraraya, kona kona bhagyavana dekhi parapaya. From Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Anapita charing chirat, karunaya vatina kalau, samar payitam unnatojvala, rasangshva bhakti shrijam. Hari purata sundara dyuti kadamba sandipitaha sarahridaya kandare spuratu va shachi nandana. From Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 1.4. Quote, May that Lord who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. Resplendent with the radiance of molten gold, he has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation ever offered before. the most sublime, radiant spiritual conception of the mellow taste of his service. End of chapter 15 of Affectionate Guidance by Srila Bhaktisandha Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj.